Following was recorded in someone's basement. Welcome to the Pro Wrestling Outsider Show, The Pro Show! With your hosts, Kyle Joseph and Mark Cote. Take it away, guys!
I'm Kyle.
And my name's Mark.
And you're listening to the PWO Show, the PWO Show, the Pro Wrestling Outsiders Show.
PWO Show?
PWO. PWO. PWO.
PWO?
PWO. Yeah, that's what I call it. The PWO Show. It's a playoff of the Ocho, which was from Average Joe's, the underdog story.
Oh, that's very true.
Dodgeball.
That's very true.
You know, ESPN 8, the Ocho.
All right, you sold me on it. That was a quick sell. Good
and
job.
They even had ESPN, the Ocho was on ESPN, where they had all sorts of obscure, legitimate contests that they were showing them.
That's very, very true. So. But also, of course, this week, lots going on in regards to the build to Survivor Series,
yep.
Of course. And I think that's what our main focus should be today. You know, of course, we have all of the last several weeks of NXT, Raw, and SmackDown have been the battle of brand supremacy, with really it being NXT versus Raw versus SmackDown coming to at Survivor Series. But also another big news this week, it's your birthday this week.
Oh, it is my birthday this week.
Yeah, happy early birthday.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, so make sure to send Kyle a happy birthday. Your birthday is Friday?
That is correct.
Friday?
Yes, yeah, it's the anniversary of the assassination of JFK.
Oh.
Just a little cheer on the day.
I wish now that you said that, I almost feel like I should have done like in this time when you were born or since you've been born,
yeah,
what has happened.
1963.
Yeah.
So before I was born. Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay,
I know.
Cool.
Well, there we go.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you. So we're going to talk about Survivor Series, and then we'll just break down kind of any other thoughts or discussion points we wanted to bring up with the rest of wrestling.
Yeah, and of course, as you have probably realized by now, you're getting this podcast a little earlier than usual.
Yep.
Kyle's off on vacation this week. This was the time we were able to get together. Worked out perfectly. Of course, as we speak right now, before we take a quick break and wrap up and get into the big part of the show, let me look at the time. Yeah, as we speak right now, CM Punk is on WWE backstage.
No.
What do you mean no?
It's at 11 p.m.
Well, they didn't know what time it was. Okay. No, you know what? I gotta be honest. I didn't really know exactly what time the show started.
Because I was watching Raw and they kept saying it.
No, you got me. You got me. I thought it was started at 8 o'clock. So clearly I watch a lot of WWE backstage.
But I don't know why. I don't know why it's Tuesday at 11.
Maybe past 11 when the kids are in bed, it's their way to be a little edgier.
I guess, maybe. But I guess we'll find out how edgy CM Punk will be.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Hold on tight. We're going to take a quick little break, and then we're going to get into Survivor Series.
You know it. Hey, everyone. Once again, our deepest gratitudes for you guys sticking around. I'm trying to stop saying thanks for joining or thanks for sticking around.
I feel every podcast
we are back
of season one and so far in season two, we've made some stupid joke about how long they need to wait while we take literally 1 minute for the segments.
All right, fine.
Break that wall.
We'll have to find something else to do our segmentations with.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into Survivor Series. We were talking about it before, whether we should discuss NXT TakeOver War Games, which will have one match that does impact the card for
Survivor Series. Yeah.
But Mark and I both agreed that we haven't really been able to keep tabs on NXT. So it would be really us bumbling through trying to figure out what's going on with these matches.
Yeah, no, 100%. You said it best. You know, we would do you guys an absolute disservice if we tried to, even though I'm sure we'd be able to hold our own and we are slightly familiar with what's going on. But let's focus on the big meat of this week, and that's NXT versus Raw versus SmackDown at this 2019 Survivor Series. You know, teams of five strive to survive.
Is it teams of five?
Nah, you know, I just like to say that because it's what they said in the 90s and...
One, two, three. Yeah, it's still teams of five.
It's still teams of five. I shouldn't. So yes, it is still teams of five, but I miss how simple it used to be.
Yes.
For example, you had two people that were in a feud, a babyface and a heel. You know, Sergeant Slaughter versus the Ultimate Warrior. And then going into Survivor Series, you had one mission. Hey, it's Survivor Series season. You know, I need to get my team behind me.
Yeah.
And it's so it's kind of still the team, you know, the Warriors versus the Slaughters, you know, coming together. And it would be four other baby faces, your Tito Santanas, you know, and all that stuff. And then you get your other heels, your Honky Tonk Mans and everyone else. You know, or in one of the cases, it would be all the Warriors, you know, the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
The, you know, what's another name? Oh my God, what was the other Warrior? The Ultimate Warrior. There's another Warrior.
The
Modern Day Warrior.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so a lot of Warriors back in the 90s.
Well, I know that, like, that was kind of, was funny, because last year, Baron Corbin had set up this thing with Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre. After Survivor Series.
Yes.
And we were like, oh, this would have been perfect to do in Survivor Series. And I thought
100%.
Maybe they would have gone down this road this time because we'd already seen the Raw versus SmackDown and how many times can you do the same thing. Now they've included NXT, which I think is really level-setted now that they are officially the third brand of the main roster.
Yep.
I think gone are your call-ups when you're going into the other main roster.
100%.
So there's been some changes in the landscape, and so I think this will be, you know, the true invasion. I hope that going forward in the years to come, we won't get these invasions without really specific purposes.
Oh, yeah.
Like an Undisputed Era, to me, makes sense. Them coming in and taking over makes sense to me because they're a group.
Yes.
And you could put them up against somebody else.
Yeah.
The same thing would be Shayna Baszler and Jasmine Duke and Maria Shafir.
Maria Shafir, yep.
And if you had Ronda Rousey, that would have made sense. Because then you would have... That would be an excellent Four Horsewomen versus Four Horsewomen.
Yeah.
Survivor Series would probably make sense. I don't think we need to keep going down the road of invasion after invasion.
No.
I also think... I have a hard time when I watch the invasions, and it happened especially, Bayley is my perfect example. In previous years, when she invaded, she was beating people up for no reason. And I was like, well, this doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah, that didn't fit the Bayley character.
What they should have done is she should have stood back and be like, guys, you think this is a really great idea? And they're like, shut up, get in here.
Yeah.
Otherwise...
Shut up, nerd, come with us.
Yeah, like, otherwise you're going to get it. And then she's kind of like reluctantly in there. Like,
she follows the cool kids kind of thing.
So I would have got that. But at least this time around, it makes a little more sense because NXT is trying to prove themselves. And they're really leading with the heels of NXT.
Oh, 100%. And I think what's great, too, is what perfect timing with NXT coming on cable television, you know, on the USA Network, because to do this wild card stuff, this completely botched last year and a half of the quote-unquote draft, Raw and SmackDown, for them to do the draft again, for it to be that close to Survivor Series, where you know they would have branded it the one time of the year on SmackDown get-together, it would have, everyone would have eaten them alive.
Yeah.
So how apropos that NXT is here to kind of step in to go, here's the new flavor. And you're totally right. And that's actually one thing that I'm really looking forward to, just... curious how they're going to do it. And Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, on a bunch of different interviews and podcasts, they've said, you know, this is what's great, because a lot of people never wanted to leave NXT. They've loved it. One of the reasons why Finn Balor went back, because he missed it, he loved it. But, and it's going to take some adjusting to, for sure. But now you can kind of, you know, when you do the draft, number one, do you do a draft? And if you do, does it include NXT, Raw, and SmackDown? You know what I mean? Does NXT draft someone? Because now it's true, it doesn't matter if Kevin Owens wants to go back to, or sorry, shouldn't even say go back to NXT, but go to NXT.
Yeah.
Or if AJ Star, the club, they want to go, they can. You know.
Yeah, I think you got to play it up as more of a signing. So
you do.
You really have to do the free agency. I think that's the way. Otherwise, the tricky part is they still have the Performance Center. And so they're still using NXT to develop this younger talent.
Yes.
So, because you can't just directly move them into Raw or SmackDown. Because then you're putting your shows at risk because they're not ready.
Oh, and especially, too, actually, and that's one thing that I was really happy about with all this is... you know, and WWE's been suffering with this for many years, where NXT has been stack loaded. You know what I mean? Yep. Asuka, Bayley, Sasha, Charlotte, Becky. You know, it, you know, like, even, hate to say it, but, like, you know, at the time, Enzo, Cass,
yep.
you know, the Fashion Police, or Tyler Breeze, specifically,
yep.
American Alpha, exactly, Jason Jordan, you know, now Shorty Gable, and Shinsuke Nakamura, Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, the list goes on, obviously you get my point by now, but then it came to a point where newer talent was being made. You know, and then they needed to go somewhere, and then they kind of, some of them did really good things, and some of them are still doing really good things, but some of them got lost in the shuffle.
The Noé Jose's?
Yeah, honestly, Noé Jose, I don't know. Like,
the Ascension?
That's the Ascension, yeah, actually, that's a really good, perfect example. Ascension, everyone loved the Ascension in NXT.
Yeah.
They cheered them when they won the NXT championships. Everyone erupted. They were so happy. This new version of the Road Warriors and the, you know, Demolition put together. But then once they came to the main roster, that shtick didn't work.
Yeah.
But then they kept with the shtick, and they never changed. They didn't change with what they could have done differently in the time.
Yeah,
so,
well, their best piece, though, was really the stuff with the Fashion Police.
It really was. It really was. but yeah, and so now I'm happy that you can develop this talent, and there is almost a, I don't want to say a fourth brand, but yes, NXT has their main roster, and they do have, still have their developmental, where they're bringing in people, the people you're not seeing on TV all the time. You know, they're kind of going around, they're training. So, but now there's a third place to go. It doesn't just need to be, oh, you're ready, you're on NXT's main roster. It can be Raw, SmackDown,
yeah.
wherever, and it's a new home for people to go. Yes, yeah. I understand it's all WWE, so they've really saturated the market, but at the same time, it's professional wrestling, and NXT being on the USA Network really allows for more flexibility with storytelling.
So, yeah, I mean, there is some concern I have, you know, do you put on another show, like a main event, where you really give your lesser talent opportunities to be on TV, or do you just keep them for the live shows? But then you're talking, you know, they're talking NXT Japan, and
oh, yeah.
there was another NXT, I can't remember where they were looking at doing it. It might have been Germany, but I'm not 100% sure. Which I think you'd maybe branch it to, say, NXT Europe.
I think that's where they need to make sure they do a good job at rebranding what NXT on USA is.
Yeah.
Because NXT UK, yes, we've seen bad example where we've seen NXT UK kind of come into the mix of things, but I know when they're talking NXT, you know, Japan, NXT Germany, or whatever, or wherever it is, they're not talking about shows.
Yeah.
Necessarily. It's
yeah.
a place for talent to grow and develop. It's a performance center there to tap the world of talent.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. And I think that's where they really need to keep doing that. You know, there is something good in, you know, you don't see them. You hear rumbles about them.
Yeah.
You know, so at some point there will be the next whoever, you know, a big guy or a Seth Rollins or an AJ, and it'll come from their developmental. But then people can talk and talk and talk, but don't see them enough where when they make their debut and they are ready, it's that much more special.
Yeah.
You know, because WWE's really tapped into that independent. It's funny, all these people are like, WWE should, you know, should get Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins and the Roman Reigns and the Jon Moxleys and. And now that they have them all, it's like, oh, why are you a part of WWE?
Yeah.
The same hypocrite saying WWE should be hiring these people. Now that they are, it's kind of like, oh, boo. you know, it's...
So I do think, you know, as we work towards this third brand, I really think that if NXT is going to carry through with the developmental stuff, they need to change the name.
Yep.
So either you give NXT's the third show its own show name, not TNT and Dynamite. I would have accepted anything else AEW did.
NXT Wednesday nights.
But I would have accepted, like, AEW... anything other than an explosion or anything related to TNT. If they did Full Gear, if they said Full Gear was their show, I'm going to accept that.
Yep.
It was the stupid play off it. But I think NXT is going to have to do the same thing because NXT is next.
Yep.
And that means that you're the up and coming. But if you're going to play your NXT as your equal of the other two, they need to figure out a way of rebranding the show.
Yep.
And call it something else and do it that way. I think that's how you're going to, or you have to keep them as second tier. It's not ideal, but I think if you're going to try and put them at the same level, then you have to.
Then you truly brand it. Just call it, like, even if it's something as simple as WWE NXT.
Well, even then.
WWE Raw, WWE SmackDown, WWE NXT.
But even if you went instead of, like, TakeOvers, like, I don't know. So let's say TakeOver. I know it's already used as their thing. But that would be the third. It would be TakeOver.
That's their show.
The third show is TakeOver.
Because when you're saying NXT, it's like, well, which one? NXT UK? NXT? Are you talking about the house show? I know what you mean. Define a little bit more where. And I know it's kind of weird where it's funny where it just kind of goes to show how. I don't know, to me, like, I don't know. I always try to think, when I was in clothing retail or working at a bank or wherever I worked, whenever I see something come out, I always close my eyes and think of a group of people sitting at a table and they made an idea and they came to a consensus and someone was like, okay, well, let's name the show. Okay, so we're AEW, we're All Elite Wrestling, okay? We're on TNT, and someone said Dynamite and someone was like, done. Yeah. Like, to me, that's ridiculous.
It's. I bet you it was while they were doing Being the Elite, and they were joking around.
Yep.
And then just.
Enough fans were like, do it, you should totally.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like.
Yeah.
And that's where, if anything, AEW, one thing that can be their Achilles heel will be them doing too much of what the fans want.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, a lot of what we've gotten for these last several weeks have been just what the fans want.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
There's no structure.
And especially, too, it's still new, it's still shiny. No one boos the bad guys, no one cheers the good guys. It's cheering everything.
Yeah.
You know, the devil just came out of the ground and punched a hole in the world. Oh, my God! Like, they're cheering everything. And I get it, they're happy, whatever, but when it's been around for a while...
They need to...
You kind of need to make a decision. And I know people get all bitey at people being like, you know, I'm a big fan of... You boo the bad guys and you cheer the good guys.
Yep.
And hey, not everyone looks at it that way or wants to, and that's okay. That's totally okay.
Yeah.
However, this is what pro wrestling has been and, whether you like it or not, always will be. There's a good guy and a bad guy, and there's a story in between.
If you're running episodic shows, they need to follow a story.
They do.
If you are just running independent shows, like, you can have little mini stories within the individual show, where you can cheer or boo, and that's fine, because then you move on.
Yep.
But this is trying to carry stories through.
You're trying to tell a story. Exactly.
So I'm wondering, as we go through, as we see Survivor Series, what impact are they going to have with having the third brand? Will we see some NXT victories? Or will this be, you know, they're clearly the second tier?
Ooh, that's number one's a very, very good question. And I've been thinking about that for quite some time. So number one... I feel in the back, with all of this happening, I feel you have your Triple H's, your Shawn Michaels, your Matt Blooms, and everyone going, this is your opportunity. This is you, because you got to look, ratings don't lie. Raw and SmackDown get millions, and NXT is struggling to get a million. Yeah. So this is a perfect opportunity. Number one, it changes the storylines. It changes the point. We've created the third brand, an established true third brand in NXT, and they want to show they're new to town and they're not something to laugh at. You know, they got to take it seriously. But at the same time, you know, this is a great opportunity to put eyes on NXT to have, because I'm sure there's lots of people who religiously every week watch Raw and SmackDown, but probably have not a dime clue about what NXT is.
Yeah.
You know, so this is a great opportunity to see who they are. If you like, whoa, this Undisputed Era team, pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tune in to NXT because I want to see that. So I think this has a lot to prove, and I feel Triple H is probably looking at him going, you know, make them follow that. So I think you are going to see a mixture of Raw and SmackDown. I think you're gonna see a big, big delivery from NXT on this show.
Very much so. So let's break it down.
Yeah.
So we'll go in no particular order. Obviously, we have no idea what the card is going to end up being like.
Yeah. And also, to that point, and as we said earlier before we started recording, we do still have tomorrow night's NXT show, where if you've, once again, we're going to talk back and forth about Raw and SmackDown this past week, but on Raw, Triple H was right on the Titans-tron and really said, NXT Wednesday, the door's open, let's go. Like, really inviting Raw and SmackDown to come. And I think that's where you're going to see the rest of your definition of the matches and who's going to be competing in what.
Side note, Titantron Is that named after Titan Sports?
The Titantron?
You just called the Titantron.
Oh, yeah, I've always called it the Titantron.
Right. Is that because of Titan Sports that used to own WWE?
Yeah, I believe so.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Because then there's Jumbotrons. I just thought Titan was just another name for it.
Yeah, no, Titantron.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
You looked at the Titantron. That was your big,
yeah,
big screen.
Yeah, did not clue in that it was related. The name was specific to the company.
Yeah.
There you go.
See, it's an old school throwback.
There you go. All right. Let's do bottom top.
So bottom to top?
Yeah.
Perfect.
So up first, we have a NXT Championship match. So because the other champions within WWE are in stories that are actually significant to the show.
Right.
Not to the pay-per-view.
Yes.
It kind of leaves Adam Cole out. So on War Games the night before, we have a triple threat match between Killian Dane, Pete Dunne, and Damian Priest.
Punishment Martinez.
Still prefer it.
Yep.
The winner will face Adam Cole for the championship. So let's just do a quick thought process. Who do you think will face Adam Cole on Sunday night?
Ooh. I think that's going to be a really... I'm going to call him Punishment Martinez. Or I'm just going to call him Punishment. I think this is going to be a really good show for Punishment. I think Pete Dunne is going to. Because number one, I try to think of Killian Dane is great. You know, he had his little run in Sanity, a small side singles run when they kind of weren't anything. Now he's back. He's doing his big thing. Matt Riddle feuds and all that stuff. But I really try to think, and if I was WWE at Survivor Series, I'm going to represent what the NXT Championship means. Who are two people that I know will tear the house down? Pete Dunne and Adam Cole.
Yeah.
So that's where I think they're going to go, because you know Pete Dunne and Adam Cole will beat the hell out of each other. And it's going to be a really, really good match. Where, don't get me wrong, Killian Dane, familiar face. But I don't know if the roster yet, if the Raw and SmackDown rosters yet are to Killian Dane's facing for the championship. Why? You know, at least people know who Pete Dunne is. The longest reigning UK NXT champion of all time. You know, it's...
Is he still?
No. Walter is the champion now.
No, but is he still the longest reigning?
Oh, hell yeah. He held it for almost 700 days.
Oh, it's yeah. Walter's the longest reigning champion right now, current champion.
Because
he's held it since April.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
So in terms of the current
champion. Since the brand, yes.
No, man, of any current champion.
Are we sure about that? When did Walter won it last year?
He won it this year? He won it before WrestleMania.
Yeah. So how is he the longest if he's only held it for a couple months?
Current champion.
All
the other championships have been lost and
won
by...
Oh, sorry. Apologies. I get what you mean.
They mentioned that one of the invasions.
That means nothing.
I know.
That means nothing. But I get what you mean. Sorry. I'm on board now. But yeah, no, I think, you know, Pete Dunne, you know, to show you everyone, he's a familiar face. People know, you know, he's a tough son of a bitch. And I think Adam Cole will have on top of that too, I think Adam Cole will actually have a hard time. And I can see Pete Dunne beating him. You know, like, not saying that he will, but it's someone who I can be convinced that could beat Adam Cole for that championship.
I'm in agreement that I think it's going to be Pete Dunne. As much as I would like to see Killian Dane, I really like Killian Dane.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when during the War Games, that one really, really caught my attention. But you're right. If this is going to showcase what NXT brings, then you showcase with two of the best. You know, I will say that I enjoyed both Adam Cole matches with Seth Rollins and Daniel Bryan. And I was, because I'm a little leery about all of the triple threat matches on the show, because they're very hard to really tell a great story, that it was nice to see these matches. And I was like, oh, you know, how fun would it be to have like a gauntlet style match? You know, and that's kind of where I thought you could have gone, but I was happy that we got to see these matches, because I think that was the opportunity that this invasion angle brings, is these matches that you wouldn't normally get to see. So let's throw some early, get people really buying into the thing. So
100%. Yeah, and you know what, and just to add on that, and that's one of the things that I like about how we're seeing Brock Lesnar and Rey. There's a true storyline there.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm excited to see that match. You know, we have other singles matches that aren't necessarily tied to... You could say that the Rey and Brock, you know, Brock kind of representing the quote-unquote SmackDown, Rey on Raw, whatever. But then, you know, I would have been actually a little upset if all it was NXT versus Raw versus SmackDown. It's triple threats all over the place. Each champion from each will go against each other. It's like, no.
Yeah, well, like, I think we're benefit, though, that Brock Lesnar doesn't fit well. And Bray Wyatt doesn't fit well. Wouldn't fit well into a match with Adam Cole.
Nope.
It wouldn't make any sense. No. And you can't put The Fiend and Brock together.
Not yet, anyways. Yeah. Not anywhere. You got to keep those two completely apart.
Yeah.
Especially for authenticity of your champion. You can't, when you have champions face champions, it's like last year. What did we get last year? We had Daniel Bryan, the champion, against Brock Lesnar, the champion. Brock Lesnar beat the crap out of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And it was one of the, and at that time, Daniel Bryan was running through everyone. Yeah. So,
okay, so I think Adam Cole is going to retain.
I think Adam Cole is going to retain as
I think they, I think when you have the Undisputed Era running all four gold, I think that's the thing you're going to go with. Yep. So. All right, speaking of Daniel Bryan and The Fiend, the next one on our match is the WWE Universal Championship. Something to note, which we'll discuss a little bit more after Survivor Series, but it looks like SmackDown is really now the A show. When you bring the quote-unquote top title, which is the Universal title, to SmackDown, it sounds like they're going to go with SmackDown at least for the next couple years.
Yep.
Or at least the next year, with all the money that Fox has spent to try and amp it up.
Yep.
And then Brock now going over to Raw, which I'm assuming was more to keep him with Paul Heyman. That would be my guess.
Then that would make sense. I don't think you need... And I got the initial, you know, look on how Fox... Brock Lesnar brings viewers in for sure. I think you can write a story and you could the talent that SmackDown has.
Yeah.
You know, once when you heard, I heard The Fiend and Brock being on the same show, it was kind of like, I don't know, man, it's, that's going to be really hard to sell, especially with the upswing The Fiend was taking with Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
You know, so it was good to make that change.
I also don't think that, I don't think Brock is going to be on TV as much as Fox probably wanted him to be on.
No.
And so
he won't.
It's better to move him somewhere else.
Nope.
So, Daniel, through his silent act, has finally agreed to a match with Bray Wyatt. This has been an interesting road for Daniel Bryan. He's been dealing with Shinsuke and dealing with Sami Zayn. Wasn't going to join them. The Fiend finally attacks Daniel Bryan. I'm already concerned, though, that we're going to get red lighting again, which is going to drive me bananas. I'll try this time to really hard to ignore the red light if possible. I just don't know if there's been enough buildup. I feel like with Bray Wyatt's characters, he needs more buildup to create this air of spookiness and, you know, striking fear in that he's tormenting them. Why isn't he using the mandible claw on Bree? And, you know, and you know, all these, like, find ways to really create him that to go right into a, I don't even know if it's a feud or just a single match. I'm just a bit concerned that there's not enough background for this one.
So I see what you mean. I personally liked how this came about. The reason why is the dance between The Fiend and Bray Wyatt. And this one was done quite well, where The Fiend attacked him. And week over week, when you're watching the Firefly Funhouse, you're seeing the disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so obviously when I'm saying Fiend, I mean the demon, the mask. Yeah. When I say Bray Wyatt, I'm saying the sweater, no mask, Firefly Funhouse guy.
Yep.
And, you know, when he won the title, and the segment was very much like, where did this come from? Like, what happened? Why do I have this?
Yeah.
And then he's slowly realizing week after week, I'm the champion. And of course, with this week, with the, I did not think I would like it as much as I did, but I think the title looks great. And it was released very simply. It was, look at this. But then it was where, hold on a second. Boom. Look, that's better. It's blue. I'm on SmackDown. I'm a company guy. Bray Wyatt is, you know what I mean? Almost trying to be the Mr. Rogers nice guy. But then it was, for me, it was what you don't see very often. Usually you see the opponent, the contender, try to chase the champion. Bray Wyatt, The Fiend, both are here. And I loved it where, you know, during Miz TV, when Bray was, so obviously we've seen in the past couple of weeks, you know, the Fiend attack Daniel. They also touched on their history. You know, Daniel Bryan was a former member of the Wyatt family for a little while. You know, so there was a lot of back and forth. But then when he just kind of, so when during Miz TV, when Bray Wyatt kind of came up on the Tron, kind of being like, hey, how's it going? Like, let's do this. But then he seriously looked at Daniel Bryan. Then he just simply looked at him and said, like, what was it here? Like, do you want to come play? And then he just, then he had a little maniacal laugh. And then that's when you kind of had like the no and the yes back and forth. But it was like, no, like, I'm not doing this on your rules. It's very, so the reason why I guess I'm saying that I like this is, not only has Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, whoever, really stood up to say, I'm here, he's now picking his shots. He's not afraid of who he will go up against. Mm-hmm. So he's the one going, let's go play. Like, come on, let's do it. And I think it would be fun. And that's the mentality of a psychopath.
Right.
Someone that says, like, this would be fun if you and I beat the shit out of each other. You know what I mean? And so that was interesting for me. But I also do see your side where it's kind of like, you know what I mean? Like some build, especially with Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt, like that itself, can that could be a WrestleMania main event.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I kind of found that part a little different, which kind of made me a little bit more intrigued to be open to it. So
Who wins?
The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. You know, I think Daniel Bryan gives him a hell of a go. My prediction will be the Fiend wins as someone joins him.
Okay. I think that Daniel Bryan will win via disqualification.
Oh, okay.
So I also agree that something's going to
happen.
So
no title change.
Correct. I think something's going to happen that Bray's going to do, or he'll have somebody else with him that will impact the match. And as a result, he will lose. And then I think this will carry the story further.
Now, just to add on to that, a question for you. This past couple of weeks, and especially coming into this past week, the big question with Sammy, you know, and with Miz going, who are you? We don't know who Daniel Bryan is. Are you the no, muggy face, just badass? Or are you the yes guy? Do you think this match defines who Daniel Bryan is?
No, because I don't think they really know what they're going to do with him.
Okay.
I think it's unfortunate that it was bad timing with some of the other stuff going on.
Right.
I think he really did have his best stuff as the Eco Warrior with the AJ Styles side of things, where he was essentially calling everybody there degenerates and, you know, eating their hot dogs and all that stuff.
Yep.
Fickle. Yes, the fickle. And so I'm not sure. I think you're still going to get the quiet Daniel Bryan. I don't think he'll join Sammy and Shinsuke. I don't think this is the right time. I could see, though, if somebody joins Bray, that Sammy will try and win Daniel Bryan over by coming, you know, down the road and trying to show up and help him out.
Right.
But I think for now, I think you're still... I don't think we're really sure yet, and I don't think we'll find out on this this show which Daniel Bryan we're going to get. I think the build is dead, though.
You think it's dead?
I think it's dead for a while.
Okay.
He may be still a face, but I think you will not see the arms go up as he goes skipping down the road. I think that part is dead for now.
I agree. I think there's a really, really big home for that spot to come back at the right place at the right time when Daniel Bryan is vulnerable and he's a true underdog again. I think that's where it can come back. So there is definitely a really good spot for it because everyone loved it. You know, but I would say I agree that at this point in time, it can kind of rest aside.
Okay, question for you. Daniel Bryan wins. Does the Eco Belt come back?
Oh. Well, if he wins by disqualification, you can't.
No, but let's say he does win.
Let's just say he does win.
Wins cleanly, quote unquote.
No. Because it happened, it's gone.
It sucks, though.
It does.
I feel like the Kofi thing was bad timing. I think they could have been done more as him with the champion with the Eagle Belt, but I think they caught the momentum of the crowd and wanted to capitalize that.
And it was perfect timing for Kofi.
For Kofi, yes. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I agree that this is kind of the death of the Eco Belt unless they somehow find a way of bringing that whole persona back.
Yeah. And they could if the story was done right. My only thing would be if they did, let's just say he won here, then in the last less than a year, the Eco Belt was here.
Gone.
The regular one came back. The blue one they just debuted, and now the Eco Belt is back. Yeah. Too many title changes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's not unrealistic for it to happen. My only hope is if it did, he would have to go pure heel again.
Yes.
And he would have to own it. And this time, it would need to be for a longer period of time.
Great.
So, yeah.
All right. Up next, we're on to the secondary title match. United States Champion AJ Styles takes on Intercontinental Champion Shinsuke, who's been the Intercontinental Champion for a while.
Quite some time.
And the NXT North American Champion Roderick Strong. How do you think this one's going to go?
So I think this one personally is going to kick ass. I think and I hope this is going to bring more. You've seen a little bit more of the old Shinsuke in his last couple of matches, which has been good, a lot more heelish. I think Sammy's done a lot of good for him. Having a good voice beside Shinsuke has been the lacking. I'm a massive Roderick Strong fan. That boy can go. This could have easily just been AJ Styles versus Roderick Strong, and I would have been very happy. But I think Roderick and AJ are going to push Shinsuke to new levels. I personally think Roderick Strong, walks away with the victory on this one. I think this is a really good opportunity for Shinsuke as the Intercontinental Champion. AJ, win or lose, does no wrong for AJ. He's established as one of the best in the world and as there ever has been. Shinsuke's been around. He's been the Intercontinental. He's not losing the title by any means. He's lost. He's won. Roddy has everything to win and everything to lose in this. Mm-hmm. And I think with a really, really strong, especially representing the Undisputed Era, I think Roderick Strong will win. And yeah, I think it'll have a hell of a showing. What about you?
So I'm concerned. Shinsuke is my big concern. I agree. Roderick Strong AJ Styles match would have been great. I am still hoping, you know, there's a couple of things I'm hoping for.
Okay.
I'm hoping for a horsewoman versus horsewoman.
Okay.
At some point in time.
Rhonda's got to pop out her baby first.
I know.
One. Or when she has a baby and then pop it out.
And I'm hoping for Undisputed Era versus the OC 4-on-4. And by that I mean Finn joins the OC properly.
Ooh. Yeah, I like that.
So I'm still hoping for that. So I would have enjoyed an AJ versus Roderick match because I think they put on a great match. I'm very leery of triple threat matches. I agree that it's a good opportunity for Roderick Strong. I think he will win just because, like you said, AJ can lose and it doesn't matter, and Shinsuke can lose and it doesn't matter.
Yep.
And really, I think Roderick will pin Shinsuke. I think that's how it's going to go.
Yep. If anything, especially with how the Undisputed Era is very heelish right now, or a little bit more on the heelish side, I could almost see AJ has the momentum. AJ creates the opportunity for a pin.
And Roderick
does it. Roderick takes him out, pins Shinsuke. Yeah, 100%. Yep. And you know what? Yeah, maybe just to kind of just jump into a little bit of War Games. Undisputed Era is in War Games.
Yeah.
Maybe Finn Balor, but his boys in the OC come and help him out.
Yeah.
That's what kind of helps spin up Survivor, especially too, every time, not every time, but most of the time that the Undisputed Era comes out, the OC seems to put the heel side aside and come out and go, like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
So that'd be awesome. But anyways, yeah.
All right.
What do we got next?
So up next, we have the men's Survivor Series elimination match.
I don't know if we can comment on this yet.
So I think we can comment on generically speaking. So Raw is Seth Rollins,
Seth Ryan,
Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, Ricochet. SmackDown is currently Roman Reigns, Mustafa Ali, Braun Strowman, King Corbin, and Shorty G. Now, they still have Friday to potentially make changes.
Yep.
So Raw seems set, even though for some bizarro reason, the Lucha House Party got involved.
Oh my god.
Which just goes to my Bayley thing, where it's like, I don't understand this.
Yeah.
If anything, unless they were trying to recruit Andrade, but that doesn't make sense because they're on different shows. So it looks like the Raw roster is set. Do you think the SmackDown roster will change?
Roman, no. They're all on Mustafa Ali. Braun, no. Corbin, no. Shorty, you can get out of them. They tried that attempt this week where it was Shorty G and Ali versus Ziggler and Rude.
Yep.
For if Ziggler and Rude won, they would swap out.
Correct.
For, and they did not. To do it again, I don't know. I think what's hard is everyone else is kind of stacked in other places, so I get it. Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, and Ricochet. That's a monster of a team. Don't get me wrong. Braun Strowman. Corbin, friggin' good. Say what you want about him. Roman Reigns, the big dog, the man. And clearly, Corbin and Roman do not get along. And Corbin does not want anything to do with Roman. Roman's the captain, but Corbin is self-proclaiming himself as the captain. Strowman is kind of a little bit of an asterisk, because what mood is he going to be in?
Yeah.
So, weight-wise, I would say Raw only, because we don't know the NXT team yet.
Okay.
That's where it's hard. But I would say, no, I don't think it's going to change. I think they've kind of committed to the Shorty G and Ali a little bit.
Agreed.
I think by removing them would do a detriment to either one of them. No. What about you? Do you think anything will change? What do you think about the teams?
So, I think Raw's team is smacked. It's stacked.
Stacked.
Against SmackDown. I think this is probably one of the strongest teams that I've seen in a while.
And Randy Orton is a three-time... Now, I hate this saying. Soul survivor. Soul is one. He's been many times where... I hate it when there's like three people left and like, and the soul survivors! No, there's three of them.
Yeah.
It's not the soul. Sorry.
So... I think if anybody's going to win between the two of them, I think it'll be Raw. Now, NXT, their big guns are already in other matches. So, my guess is, for NXT, at the very least, you're going to have Matt Riddle.
Right.
You have Keith Lee.
Right.
You're going to have Dominik Dijakovic.
Right.
I think this is the other interesting part that we haven't really seen. So, NXT UK has been involved to some extent in this, right, but they are currently not set for any sort of match.
Right.
So
I think they were there. Rhea Ripley's been the most consistent
thing. She's in War Games.
She's
more in NXT.
When they were in Manchester, you saw them more. Outside of that, you didn't really see them.
I feel like potentially Walter could come in for the NXT brand. And then maybe perhaps Finn.
Yeah.
Because Finn's not in anything.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
That's true.
If he's in.
I don't think. No. Oh, Matt Riddle versus Finn Balor.
Yeah. So I think there's a chance that they do double duty.
Yep.
But and Keith Lee and Dominic are in.
Or if Pete Dunne wins, does Killian Dane or Damian Priest take a spot?
So the other option is Tommaso Ciampa.
Gargano.
Gargano's injured.
That's right. I knew this. I knew that the moment I said it. I
follow him on Instagram. He's playing with puppies.
I knew that the moment I said it.
Playing with puppies.
Fair enough. But yeah, Tommaso. But also apparently Tommaso Ciampa's out too. His leg injury.
He's got a match.
No, but apparently he's questionable right now.
So this
we gotta search this.
Well, the question comes down to then: does NXT double up their performance? So they have guys from they have to, right? If they're gonna put them on War Games. They got to put him in there because it's supposed to be the best of NXT.
Right.
So I don't think you're going to come up with Tyler Breeze and Fandango as your NXT representatives.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Tommaso, Matt Riddle, Keith Lee, Dominik Dijakovic, and Walter.
Riddle Lee, Dominik, Walter.
Tommaso. Ciampa. That's who I'm going with.
Ooh, see, that's a tough one, and it really sucks.
But they're gonna lose.
It really sucks that Gargano, you know, because imagine a world of Balor, because if he did it right, Gargano,
yep.
Ciampa, Balor, Adam Cole,
Those are small guys.
You know what I mean? But they wrestle big.
Yeah, but
they do wrestle.
But the problem
big.
Is that when you put four of those guys,
Pete Dunne, you know.
But you put let's say Pete Dunne. You put all those five guys in a ring with five guys that are from WWE.
Oh, and even Seth Rollins isn't a small guy, but you know, but he's not the biggest guy.
No, but compared
but he's
to
bigger, much bigger than.
So
Adam
that's the problem,
Cole,
too.
And,
but
no, 100%.
So I don't think NXT wins. I think Raw wins this one. My hope for this match, though, is we don't see what they've done before, which is. Most recognizable move, that person does it. Then the next person who comes in does their most recognizable move, knocking out the other person. You know where they do those like chained events,
yeah.
Where each person does something. I hope they don't do that.
No.
But I think in this one, no matter what, Raw wins.
You mean a Young Bucks match? All of them.
No matter what, Raw wins.
Yeah. So I would say based off this. Of course, it's really hard without seeing what the NXT team will be. However. I don't see what NXT team you could put against that could realistically defeat the Raw team. However, you know, it really comes down to the storytelling. Do they want NXT to have a hell of a showing? Because imagine, so now when I look at your list, my list is very like it's the same. You know what I mean? Like I can't really see now. The Walter would kind of be a big question mark because you could not have him. But at the same time, who would you fill in that spot? If anything, I would almost say Riddle, Lee, Dominic, Balor. Because Balor and Ciampa, the big thing with Balor being in that match is, like, he's fresh off a big WWE run. Former Universal Champion, former Intercontinental Champion. Imagine him coming out. And then everyone going, oh, shit. You know what I mean? Like, Seth being very familiar with who Balor is, facing him for the first ever Universal Championship, facing him and The Miz in a triple threat match at WrestleMania. Like, Finn has also beaten Roman Reigns. Finn has had feuds with Braun Strowman. You know, so it's kind of that familiar face where it's like, oh, crap, we know who this guy is. It's easy to go Riddle, Lee, Dominic. Like, who are you guys? Balor comes out, it's like, okay. The game has changed. Mm-hmm. So that's where I would hope. But yeah, I don't know. If we're going pure numbers, like Drew McIntyre can wipe out every one of those other teams itself.
Yeah.
Especially if a Drew McIntyre is on the same page as Seth. You know, you kind of saw the tease of Andrade being joined to the Raw team if he beat Seth.
Yeah.
That turned into nothing. I don't know who he was replacing if he won.
Seth.
It was Seth. Oh, that's right. Sorry. Yes, that is right. It was Seth. Jesus. But yeah, I know we're rambling about this now, but I'm very excited to see what the teams end up being. But yeah, I would say Raw for the win.
Okay. Women's match up next. Again, we're in the same kind of boat we have. NXT's should be taking place tomorrow to decide. On Raw, we have Charlotte, Natalya, Asuka, Kairi Sane, and Sarah Logan, which is a very interesting choice. On the other side, we have Sasha Banks, Carmella, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, and Nikki Cross. Notable absent is somebody we haven't seen in a while, Alexa Bliss.
Right.
So,
Nia Jax.
Nia Jax is recovering from injury.
Yep.
Tamina doesn't get to come out now unless Nia comes back. That's my thought process.
That's because Tamina's a really bad wrestler.
Yeah. And I know that Naomi is dealing with her personal issues, aka her husband and brother-in-law,
right.
Amongst other things. So the women's, though, we haven't decided, but my assumption with the women's, you gotta go with...
I wrote down a list too, so...
So for the women's, we're gonna go with Rhea Ripley.
Yep.
Io Shirai.
Yep.
Mia Yim.
Yep.
Candice LeRae.
Oh, Candice LeRae.
Bianca Belair. That's who I'm going with.
Okay. Nope, very similar. I'm writing down your list and then, so Mia is who I had.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. Mia, I'm talking too far away. Rhea Ripley, of course, she's been killing it week over week.
Yep.
Bianca Belair, you have to have her on there. Dakota Kai.
Oh, Dakota Kai?
Dakota Kai. I think she had a really good showing this past week.
Okay.
I think she really, really showcased really well. But Dakota Kai and then Io. You gotta have... Io's been on like the new version of Asuka in NXT. So,
I think this is the one match that NXT is going to win.
Yeah, I think so. Especially having Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, strong women, like,
and who kicked the crap out of the women already.
Yes, and especially too, you have your some of your big guns, your Bayley, like, you know, your Baileys, your Becky Lynch's not in there, Charlotte and stuff. Like, they'll hold the ground down, but when you really look at it, and like Natalya, Charlotte, the Asuka, Kairi Sane, you know, okay. You know, Sarah Logan, okay. Hey, we haven't really seen you much.
Yeah.
You know, you haven't really done anything in a hot minute. And Sasha Banks, yes. Carmella, okay. Dana Brooke, you lose all the time. Lacey Evans, yes. Nikki Cross, yes. So it's kind of like each side, Raw and SmackDown, have a quite comparable teams when you really look at it. And NXT, if they go with, yeah, your Mia's, your Dakota Kai's, your Bianca Belair's, your Rhea Ripley's, like,
yeah.
I want to see Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair go at it.
So I think that, yeah, crazy. That's how I think NXT wins this one.
Yep, I agree.
All right, up next is the tag champion versus champion versus champion match. Viking Raiders take on The New Day, at least for now, and the Undisputed Era. Now, depending on what happens...
What do you mean, at least for now?
Well...
The New Day.
The Revival got their... they were interrupted by the Undisputed Era. They're going to show up on NXT. There might be the chance that they show up, that they win again on Friday. I don't know yet.
Oh, you know what? Sorry.
Because
I'm still used to the old schedule.
Yes.
We still have a Friday Night SmackDown Survivor Series.
Yes.
Sorry. Yes. I knew this.
So, there's still a chance. I don't know if there's a match, but there's still a chance. I feel like the Viking Raiders come out of this one on top. I am still shocked that they lost cleanly to the OC at Crown Jewel.
Yep.
Still shocked.
Yeah.
But I think they come out on top on this one.
So I think they do. You've made the Viking Raiders very dominant. The hard thing is, if they win against the New Day. Like, they pin a New Day. I think you've created something so genuine with Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly as, like, to put them on the big stage of Survivor Series and then have one of them get pinned. You know what I mean? Like, I can see a Big E getting pinned. You know what I mean? Like... So no, I would agree. I think the Viking Raiders win. You have stacked everything against these guys, you know, and outside of, Crown Jewel, like the best tag team in the world, that genuine loss against the OC, you know, even though a lot of it's been local talent, that's what local jobbing talent squash matches do. And they're proven to work every single time. They worked with Braun Strowman. They worked with Nia Jax. They're working with... The Viking Raiders, we've seen them do, regardless of who, is smash, and kill, and defeat, and win. So, I think it'd be really hard to have the Viking Raiders take an L. Or, I would say, the Undisputed Era, by a really sneaky win. Like Roderick Strong, Adam Cole, someone gets involved and helps them out.
Okay. All right, so our last champion versus champion match, which I think has been probably the best storyline.
The best storyline.
Of the entire Invasion stuff. Yep. I can't speak for the other matches because, you know, the Brock Lesnar Rey Mysterio one's been pretty good. Becky Lynch as your Raw Women's Champion, Bayley as your SmackDown Women's Champion, and Shayna Baszler as your NXT Women's Champion. Break it down. How does this one go down?
So number one, just a very quick comment. Yes, they've been consistent with this. Becky has come out for the last 2 to 3 Raws in a row to hype this. Bayley has been hyping it alongside having her side feuds with Nikki Cross and everyone else and being side by side with Sasha. Baszler has stood up and has taken no BS from anyone. Yes, last week on NXT, you know, Bayley, and, you know, they kind of came in and got theirs, but Baszler's been the one sticking her nose in everyone's business, kind of going, you want to see me as the underdog? No. So number one, I think this is, you know, Bayley's going to put on a good match. You know, Becky Lynch is going to put on a good match. The one little inconsistent asterisk has been Shayna Baszler's been a dominant champion. Some of her matches haven't always been the cleanest, you know? That's been always one thing with Shayna Baszler, but I think this is the, like, once again, I think of Triple H in the back looking at her and saying, like, you need to go out there and tear the frickin' house down. Once again, Becky Lynch loss doesn't hurt her. No championships are on the line. Bayley loses all the time. I think this can mean a really big moment for Shayna. So, another big question is who will win? I think Becky Lynch is going to win. You know, I think the man wins victorious. Becky can use a little bit more steam to her man gimmick, the man gimmick. And I think Becky pins Bayley, but Shayna Baszler puts on a hell of a show. But Baszler does not get pinned. Because I don't think you can pin Baszler in this match.
So I'm in agreement that I think Becky wins. I think she is the top female athlete in WWE.
Yep.
I applaud Bayley's efforts to really push her new persona. She's done a great job of making herself, or rather, doing what she can while she's out there every time, regardless of what she's in. She's doing it well. She's the one who showed up on NXT. Becky Lynch didn't show up on NXT. She went on NXT. So she's been doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
She has been. Very true.
Shayna is in a great spot. She is the best pure heel, I think, of all three shows. I've said this before. I think she really is.
She is.
There's no doubt about it. She's got her two people with her. So I think it'll come down to Becky and Shayna. I think Becky will pin Shayna. I think to just level set that Becky is still the man.
Wait, for those who can't see, I'm putting my hand on Kyle's shoulder. Or Baszler wins with an assistant from Ronda Rousey.
Ooh.
Last year at Survivor Series, we were supposed to see Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch.
Ooh, I'd love that. I would really love that. We didn't.
Becky couldn't get cleared because Nia punched her in the face. And we still got a good match with Charlotte.
Yeah.
And now Charlotte went a little rogue and went a little crazy and just... But imagine, and I know I don't know everything what Ronda's doing. Obviously, she is taking time off with her husband. They are wanting to start
family.
Well,
if you watch...
No, when you watch Divas. Total Divas, you watched 8 months ago when you're watching Total Divas.
I know. That still gives you an idea.
No, for sure. But I have an idea. But I know she's trying to start a family and all that stuff. But a little run-in.
That'd be neat.
A little run-in costing Becky, and if anything, even if Ronda's not ready to come back for like 7, 9, whatever,
yeah,
it just plants that little seed.
Yep. And everybody's like, oh, what is this going to happen?
Plants that little seed, gives a reason for Baszler to win, a little four horsewoman.
Yep.
Because ironically enough, two of the four horsewomen are Bayley and Becky. You know what I mean? So maybe it's that opportunity to give us a teaser into 2020 Survivor Series or wherever.
Somewhere else.
I think that could be the twist ending.
That'd be cool. Yep. That'd be really cool.
Yep.
All right, the last match that we're going to talk about on this card is the No Holds Barred match for the WWE Championship. The championship that is now the Raw top championship. Brock Lesnar facing off for Rey Mysterio. I think it's important to No Holds Barred. I think that was the right call. I think it helps level set the size difference. And I've really actually, at first I was a little wary of the story, but I've really enjoyed it. I think they've done really well. I like that Cain Velasquez has done his part, but now he's moved on. And, this one I'm really looking forward to. And
100%.
I think that just for all the grief that Brock gets for not being on enough television and for his matches not being long, there is something to be said, though, that he does match up well with all sorts of different styles. He figures out a way to make it work, and I think this is another one that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Name me a bad Brock Lesnar match.
Well, I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he knocked himself out.
Maybe, sure.
Doing the shooting star.
Well, still an amazing match against Kurt Angle, though. But no, 100%, and I think... This is a long story to tell. They've brought it through. Rey Mysterio is at his best. This is A-game Mysterio. This is 20 years ago Mysterio. The underdog, the David versus Goliath, the little man versus the big man. Rey's beaten a lot of the big men, you know. So the big question is, who walks away with the belt?
I still think it's Brock. I think if this was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I'd say there's a good chance at Rey. But I think that Rey is nearing the end, truly is nearing the end, and I don't think him having the belt makes sense.
I think with your comment earlier, and I'm what I'm about to say is a stretch.
It's a stretch.
I think there can be something very beautiful in Brock isn't going to be here as much. Rey beating Brock is not unrealistic,
nope.
Especially in a no holds barred. You know, Dominic can help, whoever can help. I would think it'd be very apropos. Brock Lesnar loses to Rey Mysterio. Rey has his moment. The next day on Raw, Rey relinquishes the belt. I've done my thing. It's a way to... Now, don't get me wrong. That sounds very cop-out-ish. It's a way to get the belt off Brock. It's a way to say goodbye to Rey. You know, or if Rey did win, he would have one more little segment between him and Brock where you would have an ass-kicking match. Brock would eventually win and retain, but you can say, hats off, Mysterio. You know what I mean? You
masks
can
really, off.
Or masks off, Mysterio. Yeah, and then my dearest hope is they find a home for Mysterio backstage because that guy knows how to tell a story. He knows how to book. He can help a lot of the smaller talent really help tell that story. Because Mysterio is one of the smallest, the biggest superstar ever to be so small as he is, as consistently as he is.
Isn't he the one that kind of ruined the cruiserweights for WWE? Because they put him against heavyweights and stuff, right? So when he came over, they think they still had the lightweight or the cruiserweight. They brought it back in, but he.
Well, cruiserweight came over with WCW.
Yeah, but when
Rey
came in and he was competing for actual world championships, it kind of killed the need to have cruiserweights facing cruiserweights, and I think.
So, now remember, you got to remember, cruiserweight was a style of wrestling.
Yes.
When it's original back in WCW.
Yeah.
WWE was never able to they kind of did it. Billy Kidman came in as the cruiserweight champion.
Yeah.
You know, Helms, before, you know, lots of people held the title. But the thing with, you know, Dean Malenko, Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, Chris Benoit, like lots of people were former cruiserweight champions.
Yeah.
And it was a style of fight, not necessarily a size. Even though in WCW you had to be under an X amount, you need to be under 205 to be a cruiserweight, kind of like 205 Live now, or the cruiserweight title now technically. But I don't know. Like I see what you mean. I think if anything, I don't think Rey did damage to the cruiserweight division more than Rey made it believable that a smaller athlete, someone like Adam Cole.
Yeah, I meant more
else.
Like because he was successful, there wasn't a need to just keep your cruiserweights with your cruiserweights.
Oh no, I think the talent of cruiserweight went away. I think it was all big guys. It was all big guys. You know, and plus I see what you mean. I think I'm just trying to think of the time where when WCW came in, the cruiserweight title was there. You had your Billy Kidmans, you know, you're all those people. But then after a while, when it changed to the attitude, like the attitude adjustment era or whatever, or the ruthless aggression era with John Cena, think of all the people, Carlitos, Cena's, you know, the list goes on. They were all bigger people.
Yeah.
I just don't think there was a fit for that. So,
okay.
But no, I think Rey can realistically beat anyone. Rey is still very much in I don't want to say he's in his prime, but the guy can go like he's in his prime, you know. And I think it'd be very apropos. Why is Rey facing for the championship this late in his career when he was so close to retire? I personally think and I hope they put the belt on Rey just to say thank you, a nod, you did it. It wasn't a one-time fluke way back in the day. You did it. You did it again. Thank you very much. And then whatever they do afterwards, we just would have to see. But I would say that would be a pretty cool way to close out the show if that was the main event.
All right, so that wraps up our Survivor Series preview. Obviously, again, we have Wednesday night's NXT that will shape the NXT side of things.
Yep.
And we still have SmackDown on Friday, which could potentially alter some of the matches. Obviously, I think we're going to see another SmackDown Raw NXT brouhaha at the end of SmackDown. But that brouhaha won't impact whatever's going on. They'll have already decided that before.
Mm. Well, who knows? It's a wait and see type thing. We still have, we still have an NXT and a SmackDown to define going into Survivor Series. So, yeah, hopefully we'll, maybe we'll try to tweet out anything major that we see that's changed or from what we said tonight.
All right. So, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back just to share some final thoughts and then close up shop.
All right. See you in a second. Welcome back, everyone. Kyle, it's that time of the show. Let's close it out. I think that's a really good review of Survivor Series. I'm really excited for War Games. They've proven time over time that, you know, it's not just a gimmick they put back into WWE. It's something that works really, really well for NXT. I think outside of that, I don't really have too much crazy stuff to go over. Of course, I'm excited to kind of talk about seeing CM Punk on WWE backstage.
Yep.
11 p.m. Eastern time tonight,
that
an
is correct.
Hour and a half. And the results from this coming weekend. And yeah, we do need to catch up a little bit more on AEW. I've been following them a little bit. I've watched Full Gear. I gave that review last week. But apparently you have some AEW news.
I do. So a couple things. Bash of the Beach is returning. It's going to take place on the 15th of January, which I believe is their Wednesday show, in Miami.
How did they swing that?
He owns the rights to it.
Who?
Cody. It's part of his copyright. Oh. He owns a bunch of them. As well as they've announced that on the Jericho Cruise, which I will be attending again this year, they will be recording the live episode of AEW's Dynamite.
Oh, very cool.
On the boat. So we'll see how that goes. That'll be interesting how well that goes. We'll see. So there was that. And the other piece was Cody. It was announced that Cody has obtained the copyright rights to Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, very interesting.
It is. And a couple of other stuff that Dusty had done back in the day.
Yeah.
So I think he's just trying to, you know, it's the Dusty position instead of the Gorilla position.
Right.
I think he's trying to really absorb as much of Dusty's stuff to kind of keep it within the family. Whether they use it or not isn't really the point.
Oh, it's there. Interesting, because I know WWE owns some of that property.
That's right. So that's why they're trying to pull it back as much as they can. That's why they don't own Starrcade, but they own Bash the Beach. And there was a couple other ones that they'd already owned from before, and then this time around, they also did whatever War Games was called before War Games.
Fall Brawl.
No, not Fall Brawl. It was like the match.
Pretty sure it was Fall Brawl. Please hold. We're just doing a little Google A search.
Where are we looking here? I think it was on. Anyways, while I'm looking this up, because it's going to bug me.
The War Games matches that was originated in NWA World Championship Wrestling Fall Brawl pay-per-view event.
No. There was the specific actual match.
Fall Brawl.
No, not at the event. It was what the actual match was called. It wasn't called originally called War Games.
The War Games match is a match used originally in the NWA and later held annually in World Championship Wrestling at their Fall Brawl pay-per-view event in September. Dusty Rhodes is cited with coming
the match
the
beyond.
Idea. The match beyond?
Okay, hold on. Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Just a second here. I'm not crazy. I am not crazy. Okay.
Oh, God. The match beyond. That, okay, that's from like the 80s, if I'm remembering correctly.
Okay, so as part of this, he owns the American Dream, the American Nightmare, Dusty Rhodes, Battle Bowl, Bunkhouse Stampede, The Prince of Wrestling, and The Match Beyond. Apparently, The Match Beyond is technically the second half of a War Games match.
Yes, yeah, so in way back in the 80s, the 87, so this was, it was an old, if I'm, once again, and I'm going off the top of my head here, so all of this was an original, so obviously the NWA became WCW.
Correct.
Way back in the day. The Match Beyond, so what would happen is, so it would be two rings, so the big cage over two rings.
Yep.
So one match would be in one ring. When a pinfall or whatever would happen, they would move to the next ring, to which to then both rings were able to be used.
Okay.
So it kind of opened up the next phase, like the next part of the ring, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, so it's all part of like his plan to try and pull back as much of Dusty's contributions to the wrestling world and kind of keep it in-house.
WWE owns all of it because Dusty was a WWE product. Not completely, but he was in the, you know, the early 90s, later on in 2000s, and, you know, Dusty Rhodes, as he passed away, he was notorious for being a part of NXT as, you know, promo class. So, he contributed a lot to the wrestling world. Right. In his later days, Dusty loved being a part of NXT. But it totally makes sense. And seeing, obviously, for Cody to get a lot of this, he would too have to have, you know, spoken to WWE. Because, like, for example, like Dusty Road figures are still sold by Mattel, by
yeah,
WWE.
So I'm assuming that these copyright rules, and obviously there's all sorts of things, is that he probably owns the rights to very specific things.
Oh, I'm sure, yes.
Right, like WWE probably can still, because they do sell figures, can probably still carry the figures as long as they are within the WWE's likeness. But they can't turn around, probably can't now turn around and create another wrestler named Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, no.
Right? Like, I think that's where...
no. Yeah, you wouldn't... that would be so stupid if
right.
they...
Right, but I think
I see what you mean. I see your point. So. No, that's cool. And if anything, knowing one thing that Vince does not get credit for is he is willing for people to take a lot of their names with them.
Yes.
Like, he's been very, very willing
for that.
I think
it's about how you exit.
It's about how you exit. It's about how you ask. It's about the relationship. It's not the big old F you and screw you and I want this. And there's lots of people who've left WWE that now own their names.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't, like, Ryback, unfortunately. He needed to legally change. He didn't need to, but instead of playing nice, he legally changed his name to Ryback.
Yeah.
So, of course, he can use Ryback. It's his legal name. Idiot.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of, that's stupid. Anyways. But no, that's cool. That's cool.
So, yeah. And just to your point that you brought up earlier about the now, instead of the big red belt, it's now the big blue belt, the Universal Championship.
Yep.
I was really hoping for a black belt with, instead of the red stripe across, it was a blue stripe. That's what I was really hoping for.
Oh, like the backing on the inside?
Like, well, you know, like, there's the stripe underneath the W.
Oh, right.
I was hoping that would turn into a blue one. Or, instead, had they done...
you're going to do the AJ Styles WWE Championship. Someone made a custom-made AJ Styles Championship. Where is it?
You know, so had they done something like that, or closer to the way the women's belt is, I wouldn't have disagreed with that one either. Had they done just like black around the outside and then blue on the inside,
right,
and then changed the men's to match, I would have preferred. I'm not even a fan of it now. As I watch the tag teams, I don't know. There's just something about the color as it shows up in leather. I'm not a fan of it. So. Whites I'm okay with, blacks I'm okay with, browns I'm okay with, but for some reason I'm just not a fan of that blue or red leather. So, yeah. So that was it for me. Anything else you wanted to carry over?
No, I'm just quickly trying to look for that. Someone made an AJ Styles custom SmackDown blue title. I'm just trying to quickly find it, but I'm not going to make everyone wait. It was kind of still black, but it was like the AJ Styles type blue on the inside and out. And I believe the stripe was blue.
That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah, no, that would have been really, really cool. A nice little twist and difference. Yeah. Kind of like that underlining is that asterisk on the boom.
Yeah.
Brand. Where is it? Yeah, here it is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Something like that with the blue. Yeah. But no, okay, cool. Well, all right. That's it for me.
So on next week's episode, we are going to obviously review Survivor Series.
Survivor Series and War Games.
Review War Games.
Yep.
This week I will be at Luto 7, so I will
provide a Luto 7,
review. And we will also preview the anniversary show for C4, Combat Shock. With they've already started to release some of the cards, so next week we'll go through the rest of the card, and we will go from there.
Ludo 7, release what your card's going to look like.
Yes, I couldn't really find it. I was looking around and nothing seemed to make sense.
Hey everyone, pay money to come see a wrestling show. By the way, we're not going to tell you who's there.
So, we shall see. It's my first time,
it's like a mystery box.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes, but thanks very much everyone for joining us this week. It was really nice to be able to get together with Mark and record.
It's always best when we're together.
Next week, I'm not going to lie, maybe a bit of a challenge, but
we'll figure it out. We'll make it work. Always know whenever we do record separately, it's definitely not without trying.
Yes.
We're busy people. We have families, we have full-time jobs, we have different things that we do, and this is a side hobby, but of course 100% of the time, if we could ever do this together, it is the preference.
Yes.
Hopefully we'll see you'll see us together next week, but outside of that, my name is Mark.
And I am Kyle.
And we will see you next week. Enjoy Survivor Series. See you, folks.
Later.